is KGMI Connects with Joe Tien, a live local show about our community and you on KGMI News Talk 790, 96.5 FM in Bellingham, and KGMI.com.
Well, good Tuesday to you. Thanks for joining us here on KGMI Connects, our Open Lines, Open Ideas program. Anything goes. We hope you'll join us with whatever's on your mind. 360-676-5464, our phone number. Or you can text us at that number as well. I always remember to open my text program and I can read your thoughts that you transmit to us in that fashion. But of course, if you call, we can have a conversation. Tell me I'm crazy and vice versa. Makes it fun. But we just hope you'll call and, like I said, tell us what's on your mind, what your opinion might be on a particular subject. But scary situation, that bridge falling down, that was incredible. I'm seeing video of it. I saw one video that showed the ship approaching and it lost power. And then because all the lights on it went out, and then apparently the power was regained to one degree or another because the lights came back on. And then they all went out again and partially came on again. And then it hit that piling of that bridge, the key bridge there in Baltimore. And boy, the whole thing just came down. I mean, like a deck of cards, you call it. But it was amazing. That's a frightening situation. But I don't have a call screener right as we start the program. Should have one here in just a little bit, as we've had some of our personnel running about the town here this afternoon. But give us a call, 360-676-5464. I'll put you on hold. And hi, caller. I'm going to put you on hold. I got a couple of folks ahead of you, but I'll get to you for sure here on KGMI Connect. So let's just get rolling. Whatever's on your mind, as I said, we want to hear from you. And we start with Bruce in Bellingham. Hi, Bruce.
Hi, Joe. Yeah, former RNC chairwoman Rona, she was working at one of the Alphabet news companies. I forgot which one it was now, but
NBC, I think, hired her. NBC did.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, it doesn't matter. They're all the same. But they don't have any freedom of speech on those news outlets. From what I understand, the co-workers got into a tussle over it about hiring a Republican like that. And first, the management made the decision, and then they influenced them. Hosts on these news shows, they made a squabble over it, and so they fired her. But it's just typical of these Alphabet news outlets. They are woke, and they believe in cancel culture, and it's just, I never watch those anyway, so it doesn't really matter to me, except that there's a lot of people that they influence, and to have not somebody on from an opposing view is a shame, I think.
Well, and I hear what you're saying. I don't know that it's just was a move to not have an opposing view on the air, but I think it was that person specifically who they had many of these. I saw the reaction of. I think it was the former Sunday morning guy who reacted to this very negatively. And he said he had interviewed her many times and she had been, you know, had denigrated their work, the work of the media, and basically had,
so had gaslighted
gaslighted and. And basically, they weren't.
And they don't?
Well, I guess you can make that judgment.
That's a joke.
Make that judgment. Okay. All right, Bruce.
Thanks.
All right. Thanks for your call. But all right. Let's see. We're rolling here now. Let's go to our friend Rod in Bellingham. Hi, Rod. What's on your mind today?
Hey, what's going on there?
Not a lot.
Well, you know, I was thinking about yesterday in that photo, you know, that was taken by Alfred Eisenstadt back on August 14th of 1945 at 5:51 p.m., and there was another guy, Victor Jorgensen. He was a naval photographer that took a picture right about that same time of those two people kissing. Uh-huh. And, you know, there was, you know, a revisited debate on whether this was some kind of, an adult innocence, if you will, uncontrolled happiness that the war was over versus, you know, a picture that depicted sexual assault and rape culture. And so, you know, I took it upon myself to do some studying online and YouTubing and whatnot. And there's a wonderful interview with the man that's in the photograph. That was, what's his name there? Let me think. George Mendoza of New York. And then Greta Zimmer Friedman. Those are the two that they finally found out who were in the picture there. And it was just really interesting. The interview is about an hour and 6 minutes, but then there's a whole plethora of videos out there as well regarding this video. Mm-hmm. And it got me to thinking about how important it is, because we've talked about the tearing down of statues and learning about the history, just the history of the human being in general. Mm-hmm. And some people would, you know, argue that the ability to critically think is being lost. And then I started, you know, just as I'm going through all this and studying these videos and the information, and I won't bore people with, you know, a whole bunch of information because they can go out there and study that themselves. But it was an interesting journey back in time. And I thought to myself, what if that photo wasn't available? What if these statues weren't available? And even what if things like Mein Kampf wasn't available? And it's like, okay, depicts a monster that most people would call a monster that killed over 6 million Jewish people, for instance, and his journey toward trying to create this master race. And I was thinking, okay, well, if we took that away and we took these statues away without adding more information as we learn it, we're really taking away the information that allows the human being to critically think about who one is and who wants to be, and or would they not be in their own right trying to create a master race or a master culture?
Well, I understand
myself, interesting.
Yeah, I understand what you're saying, but I've never advocated for these, like the statues, to be, you know, get rid of them, melt them down, destroy them. I think there are places where they could and should be more properly displayed than on a, say, you know, if you're talking about Confederate soldiers or what have you, Confederate heroes displayed in the center of a city. That's a place of honor and reverence, and not
well,
that these people.
Well, that's the point of view again.
Well,
but see, that's
yeah.
The whole
well, it isn't. Not really. I mean, you don't put up. We wouldn't put a statue of Hitler downtown, or you know, or a statue of Benedict Arnold on the in the nation's capital there with the, you know, next to the Lincoln Memorial, that sort of thing. I mean, you know, it's a matter of context. Then Mein Kampf, you know, it's one thing to read it and understand where this mind was coming from and what it led to with and understand the context. That would be a whole other thing to say, hey, this is how we should be. This is what we should be believing and teaching. And, you know, if you get what I'm saying, and like with the picture, it's more than just like the experience of those two people and how it's displayed. If it's displayed in military facilities and that sort of thing, and the military quite famously has been, you know, dealing with this issue of sexual assault and you know, mistreatment of people, primarily women in their ranks. And I mean, to display this and say this is proper behavior when we win a war, you get what I'm saying? It's all a matter of context and where it's displayed.
Well, even like, it got me thinking, too, about this picture of World War II, okay, that it's also known as the kiss that ended the war or ended World War II. It's like, and it's also known as the kiss. And I'm like, well, what about in Vietnam, where we saw so many signs about, again, the times really changed radically, make love, not war. Now, was that in the world of free love and promiscuity? Or was it, hey, let's really think about what we're doing here, people. We're killing innocent people. Let's make love, not war. And so the coin that flips and spins. And I'm like, wow, okay, we got two sides of the coin, but we also have to consider the thickness of it and what does it represent when we spin it.
Okay.
And not spin it like we're spinning the information, but spinning as to what we see at that point, and that as it actually looks like it's moving and it becomes round, almost spherical, rather than just a circle on a flat plane.
Right.
And so I'm like, this was interesting that this picture kind of took me down a road. It was my choice. But I spent hours studying and looking at interviews and discussions on both sides of the fence on that, and I am the wiser for it as a result.
All right.
That's why it's important for shows like this.
I'm glad I brought it up. Yeah. All right.
Well yeah. That was pretty cool, and thank you for the challenge.
Thanks for your call and for your thoughts. And we'll take a quick break. We'll be back with more. We got other folks on the line. We all have plenty of time for you, too. KG Mike and X, 360-676-5464.
What he's saying is we have to do the right things every day to earn happy customers.
Customer service is something you have to work on daily. This is not something you gather up every quarter or 6 months. It requires a lot of intention and energy. Well, the goal is to do that, treat everybody like a millionaire. I hold my employees accountable to a different level, and we still fall short. I fall short. It's hard. It's hard to maintain a really solid, good customer service, but that's something that we have taken on ourselves, and we're not going to change that because if something comes out of our hearts, we enjoy taking care of people and enjoy doing the right things. In my heart, I feel that you have to do the right things, regardless. If they sound good, don't sound good, they look good, don't look good. You still have to do the right things so you can go to sleep at night and feel like you've done well.
Xavier's Bellingham Nissan. We take care of our customers.
The men from Mars are kicking spring off with an out-of-this-world offer. The first part, zero interest and no payments for a whole year. The next part, a $1,500 check. Ready? It's Mars Heating's Beat the Utility sales event. The next 40 people to purchase a heating and cooling system will receive a check for $1,500. And there's no payments and no interest for a year with your approved credit. For out-of-this-world service, call Mars today. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See store for details. The men from Mars have an out-of-this-world offer. You can have a cool, comfortable home, and you can take advantage of the spring. Want to hear it? It's Mars Heating's Beat the Utility sales event. The next 40 people to purchase a heating and cooling system will receive a check for $1,500. And there's no payments and no interest for a year with your approved credit. The Beat the Utility sales event. For out-of-this-world service, call Mars today. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See store for details.
Need a job? Full-time, part-time, and seasonal jobs are available now at HireMeWa.com. HireMeWa.com is your hyper-local job board. It's free and easy to use, and you can even upload your resume and let business owners find you. HireMeWa.com, the go-to job board for Northwest Washington, powered by this Cascade Radio Group station and by HF Sinclair. HF Sinclair Puget Sound Refinery in Anacortes is looking for a process operator. There's great pay and benefits. For details on this and other job openings, head to HireMeWa.com today.
We're taking your calls live on KGMI Connects, 360-676-5464.
Good to have you with us here on this Tuesday, and we hope you'll give us a call, tell us what's on your mind, and let's go to Bob in Everson. Hi, Bob.
Hey, Joe. How's it going today?
All right. What's on your mind here?
Yeah, so I just want to talk a little bit about, I just saw this article regarding the Washington State Supreme Court just ruled now that the as far as getting your bar, you don't have to pass the bar exam now to become a lawyer. They're hoping to do that by 2027 with some different pathways to, you know, become a lawyer. And it's just, to me, when we start lowering the standards, you know, in the name of DEI, we're basically we're putting ourselves up against a wall when it comes to, you know, qualifications of people that are doing these jobs that, you know, used to have standards, and now when you start lowering them, are we going to have the same quality, you know, when it comes to these positions? Like pilots, for example, you know, I don't know which airline they said, by whatever year they want 50% of their pilots to be, you know, of some sort of minority. And it's like, well, are we getting the best qualified people, or are we just getting the diversity hires? Excuse me. And it's just like, at what point do we start saying, no, we want this to be a, you know, qualified, you know, based on qualifications, not based on diversity? You know, what's it going to take to, you know, for something to start going bad because we're hiring people not based on their qualifications or merit, but based on their gender or their color, you know?
I guess the assumption I'm hearing is that just by changing the standards and using a different alternative way, in this case, to get a license to practice law in the state, that they're lowering the standards by changing them. And I don't know that that's necessarily true.
It is. So number 7 on their list is lower the cut score for bar exam passage back to 266. So that's basically now taking the what the required score was now and lowering it. They're going to reduce the time requirement for admission by motion to 1 year. So they're doing all these things, these experimental, you know, pathways for law grad students or law students in general. But my point is, at what point, I don't know if you're aware, University of Florida completely fired their entire DEI department. There is no longer a DEI department at the University of Florida.
Right.
And across the board, this is something I talked, the last time I talked, you know, called in, we were talking about where this divide is in this country. And I've been thinking about it a lot. I think that DEI is a huge part of it. It's a huge part of the divide. And I think when you talk to, I think a lot of people that are either part of an ethnic minority or a gender minority or a LGBT, they're just people. And they want to be treated like people. They want to be treated based on their merits, based on their accomplishments, not because they're a black person or a woman or a gay person. And it, across the board, if you start really digging into it, that's what people want. And so this DEI push, you know, look what happened with the Harvard press, Claudine Gay. She did not belong in that position. She cheated her way into that position. She was a diversity hire. She had to plagiarize other people's work to get that position.
But I mean, white people have plagiarized and cheated their way into positions. And I don't think that we're in any place. I'm just speaking as, I'm assuming that you're a white guy like me. We don't have any right or reason to assume what a minority person, what their experience might have been or how they might feel about an issue. I don't know what's wrong with diversity, equity, and inclusion. Why is that such an awful, awful, scary thing and something that has to be swept away? Because, I mean, we're talking about people that have been historically marginalized and whose abilities have been assumed to not be up to the standards that are required for these positions.
Okay, I think you're missing it here, Joe. So have you seen the interview with Morgan Freeman and Mike Wallace? Or with Morgan Freeman and Don Lemon? What Morgan Freeman says. He says to Mike Wallace, do you want a Jewish History Month? And he's obviously instantly like, well, no. And what does Morgan Freeman say? Well, I don't want a Black History Month. I'm an American.
Okay. Well,
it has nothing to do with my race.
All right.
We need to be putting people into categories and boxes and looking at people as individuals. This country is going down a slippery slope when we're lowering standards for all these positions based off of somebody's, you know, gender or, like I said, race or whatever. We need merit-based meritocracy where we are looking for the best, and that's it. And what Morgan Freeman says is, everybody in this country has an opportunity. You got to pull yourself up by the bootstraps and, you know, make it happen. Everybody's got this.
I understand that, but Morgan Freeman is a unique talent and a unique individual in a pretty unique career. And, you know, I mean, I think you don't have to admit anything. I'm not ordering you to that. If a society and by and large, you know, still corporate management of so many of these, you know, the corporate world or businesses in general, I mean, white people dominate many of those positions. And so who do you tend to when you're interviewing or you're talking to prospective employees or I think it's safe to assume that people, not even consciously, but generally will tend to favor those who are more like them, who, because they understand that. I'm not saying that they're acting out of racism or just being a blatant racist, but do you get my point that's
your point. Let's be honest here. We've moved past that, Joe. We've moved past. We had a civil rights movement that moved past. Now, are there going to be some biases with certain individuals? Of course. But as a society, in general, we are all equal. We are all even. We are all people.
Right.
But want to be treated. They don't want to be put in a box because they're this or that. They want you to look at them for what they've accomplished, for what they've done, for who they are.
Right, I agree, but I guess I make the point.
It doesn't matter. Go ahead. Sorry.
Well, I was just going to ask you, can't teaching DEI in schools, don't you think that can have an effect, a positive effect on those individuals that might still harbor these kinds of thoughts?
So that's the thing. We're past that, and that brings up a good point.
Okay.
So House Bill 54C2 that just passed, they're now going to have to teach people from marginalized communities, gays, starting in 2025, that people have accomplished things. Mm-hmm. Again, like I said before, if you ask any gay or black person that has accomplished something that they actually are recognized for, do you think that they want to be put in the box with, well, look, it's because they're gay and look what they did? No, it's because of what their accomplishment was. It has nothing to do. That is not who they are. That they're a person. And this is what people need to understand. Quit putting people in boxes and look at individuals. It doesn't matter if you're gay. You did this and you need to be recognized. You're recognized. Doesn't matter what you are.
Okay.
Doesn't matter what color your skin is. And they're teaching kids in school now that, hey, look, we have to put these people in a box and show them, look, these people can do stuff too. And they're gay, but they can still do stuff. Or they're from Indian and they can do stuff. No. That person accomplished something because of their work and their ethic and everything that they did to be successful. It has nothing to do with what their gender or ethnicity.
But I mean, part of their story is they were successful, and we've had a long conversation, but I think it's a good one, a big part of their success has been pushing against the societal resistance to them being successful. I mean, I don't believe that. The civil rights struggle. I mean, wasn't that, you know, that was the whole thing about Martin Luther King Jr.
Of course.
How he struggled for.
What was his main thing, Joe? What was his main thing?
I want you to be discussed by the
content of their character, not the color of their skin.
Right.
And what
exactly.
Are they doing now? They're putting people in boxes based on the color of their skin, based on their gender, based on their sexual orientation. They're doing exactly what Martin Luther King didn't
do. I guess I disagree that his work was done, where I think you and many others are assuming that his work has been accomplished. It's all over.
You know what? And what else did Morgan Freeman say? He said, you want racism to stop? Quit talking about it. Quit talking about it. This country is not a racist country, and we know it. It is one of the least racist countries on the planet Earth, and we know that for a fact.
Okay.
So for them to keep pushing these race hustlers, to keep pushing this, you know,
Well, we want it to be not racist. I mean, not just least racist, but
we are okay, Bob.
Well,
Joe, let's be honest, right? There's always going to be idiots that are racist. There's you can't stop.
Well, sure, but you could.
We can't make it a zero sum game.
No, it's not a zero sum game. But you can help to reduce that and reduce that insensitivity and those thoughts and those feelings and how people and those that might treat people that's my thought anyway through teaching this and talking about it in schools and
What's the old thing, though, Joe? What's the old saying? Right? You can't fix stupid. Right? There's going to be people that are just you can't get through to them that it's not okay to be. You just that's just what it is. That's the human side of it. In general, as a whole, as a society, we are a very loving, accepting, you know, kind society, as Americans. And we need to be that needs to be put out instead of that we're racist and that we're this country's terrible. When in reality, we aren't.
I don't think that's the message, but Bob, I appreciate your thoughts and I appreciate having you as a neighbor, definitely, because I
absolutely
you're the kind of guy that we need.
I love everybody and accept everybody, but I wish everybody could let's get rid of boxes and just let's look at people for people, what they are. All right, have a good day.
Thanks for your call today. We'll take a quick break. We'll be back with more. Conversations that what we're all about here on KGMI Connects.
This is Caden Jolston's Don't Put All Your Eggs in One Basket. Bounce to Hinton Chevrolet when there's no bunny business.
Hinton Chevrolet, doing business with a tradition of trust since 1947. Located on the Guide in Linden, across from McDonald's, or online at hintonmotors.com.
Lindale Glass is your premier window and door company in Waukamish Skagit County. With over 35 years of professional installation experience, you can rely on the dedicated employees at Lindale Glass to provide an exceptional install. Lindale Glass features Milgard windows and doors, leading the industry with innovative, high-quality products. You can be assured of a product that is customized for your home. No shortcuts, no gimmicks, just excellent service and exceptional quality from Milgard. Visit a Lindale showroom to learn more or online at lindaleglass.com.
MyBellingham.com is an exciting new news site covering Bellingham, Whatcom, and surrounding areas. Breaking news, community and business updates, local crime and sports reports, the stories that connect us and make this an incredible place to call home. Connect with our community like never before on the all-new MyBellinghamNow.com. And the best part, it's 100% free. No news hidden behind a paywall ever. MyBellinghamNow.com. Your community, your news, just a click away. MyBellinghamNow.com.
The latest local news and important topics of the day from the West Mechanical Studio.
Rest easy in a cool home this summer. Contact West Mechanical Heating, Air Conditioning, and Electrical to add AC to your existing system for as little as $140 a month. Find them at westmechanical.net.
Get the latest news and information 24/7 with KGMI News Talk 790, 96.5 FM in Bellingham. Streaming live at MyBellinghamNow.com. We're taking your calls live on KGMI Connects. 360-676-5464.
Thanks for joining us here on this Tuesday afternoon. Let's go to Jim in Seattle. Hi, Jim.
Hi, Joe. How are you?
I'm doing well. What's on your mind today?
Well, lots now after listening. Bob, the previous caller, I think we could probably, especially if we organize Noam Chomsky and all the people that I read, with including Gore Vidal, who I'm looking at a little bit now, they would prove him very wrong. I think, indeed, there is discrimination. Black wealth is almost infinitesimally small compared to white wealth. So then you have to say, is that because they're inferior? Which they're not. And then if it isn't because they're inferior, then it means that white people can sit there and a CEO that's white, he could say, you know, if you want to ask me if I hired a white guy instead of the black guy, I can say, how are you going to prove me wrong by me saying, yes, I just hired the white guy because I favor him racially. And they can also internalize these white supremacy things so that even if you were inclined to put them on a lie detector test, which they probably would refute and they're not reliable, but they could internalize the racism so that they could actually pass a lie detector test and still be racist against blacks. And you know what Ann Richards said about George Herbert Walker Bush? He thinks he hit a triple, but he was born on third base, you know. And George W. Bush, his son, who also, unfortunately for many Iraqis and other people, became the president, he had a legacy appointment to what school was that? It was Yale, wasn't it? And he got gentleman C's. And so if you got money, you can get by much more easily. And black people just don't have money. The rotting away in the inner cities, known as concentration camps, is what Noam Chomsky, and nothing will be done. And they already tried enterprise zones that Jack Kemp, the Republican football player, used to talk about. And Tim Scott even mentioned that. He's a black man from South Carolina, ran for president. And so he said that, I'm trying to think of what I'm trying to say here.
Well, I think you make a really good point about economic opportunity that has eluded many minorities and especially black Americans. And that's just part of so much of the different issues that plague the black communities, and you know, poverty is a big part of it, and related to crime and so much more, substance abuse, and I think that's a huge issue, and providing opportunity to people in those communities is pretty key to helping them get out of it. And it's not just about, affirmative action, what have you, but our previous caller brought up airlines, favoring minority pilots or others in professional positions like that. That I think that's would play a huge factor in helping people. And it's not assuming that, hey, we'll just take anybody just as, depending on what color their skin is. It's an idea that giving them an opportunity and showing that they have just as much ability as anybody else, but they have
lacked my point, Joe.
Well, go ahead.
I'll finish my point. Tim Scott was talking about the $50 billion under Trump that was invested in these so-called enterprise zones, but it was mostly just tax breaks for businesses that wanted to move into the area of, Obama helped push the seething massive humanity of misery 3 miles to the south. I've read that. So how are they going to? It didn't work anyway. The $50 billion tax program was mostly tax breaks, and didn't even involve people in the inner cities, which is code word for the black people. So if they did move in there, where are the jobs that are needed to support these new, whatever you call it, fast food or wherever they're going to put in there?
That's why
I'm a socialist instead of a capitalist, because I know that, I know people that know what it's like in these inner cities. It's just they hate white people because they're promised this. They used to have a heavy industry in L.A., and now they took all that out and sent it overseas, and then what became of them? And then if they get politically active instead of dealing drugs, the police actually react harder against them because they don't want them, like the Black Panthers, going to hell. So that's a long time you've had. I intended to talk about other things, but maybe we'll talk about it tomorrow since you let me have a good time. So thanks for letting me on.
You bet. Thanks for your call. 360-676-5464. Rich in Ferndale's on the line. Hi, Rich.
How's it going today, Joe?
Doing all right. What's on your mind?
Well, lively conversation. I think DEI exists today because our society, Western society and American society, is very superficial. We no longer care about quality. We care about optics. We care about how things look. Corporations care about the racial and sexual makeup of their staff, and they care about that more than quality. So I disagree with the previous caller. I think a lot, the guy who you had the long talk with about DEI, I think a lot of people do want to be part of these new groups and small groups because you feel special when you're the underdog. You get attention and you get sympathy. So, and that's just part of our culture. The social media has brought that on. Everybody wants to be noticed. Everybody wants to be special. And hard work has been demonized in large part by the left. Obama said, you didn't build that. You didn't make that. You had help. I mean, that is the worst thing a president can ever say, to
really?
Just denigrate
okay.
someone who worked hard. I mean, it's just, I remember hearing that. What an awful thing. This is pushing jealousy, and it's one of the worst emotions of humanity to be jealous of someone else. But that is what we are as a society right now. We're jealous of the next guy. We're envious. We want what they want, but we're not willing to work for it. We have to have a handout or a freebie to get us there, and the government's right there to do it. DEI is the problem with it, Joe, is it employs unequal treatment under the law to accomplish its goals. It goes away from equal treatment and gives preferential treatment to special groups based on the optics that we want to see. And hard work is flipping out the door. But there is an area I would love to see DEI. You want to guess where that is?
Where's that?
Professional sports. Where is the equity there? The racial makeup does not follow population percentages in the United States, does it? So
no.
Where's the DEI there? And BET,
well,
Black
maybe,
Entertainment
maybe,
Television.
Maybe, what, maybe all of society should reflect professional sports more. Maybe minorities
Why?
Are the ones who should be running everything and be sitting in
That's
all the boardrooms.
The
and
the opposite
maybe,
of DEI.
Maybe a bunch of, you know.
So now you're against DEI?
No, I'm just saying.
You're against it? That's an argument against it, Joe.
No, I think in professional sports, that obviously they, you know, it's those who are achievers and have you know, the ability to do that,
and that's good. I'm all for it too.
Sure.
And that's how everything should be. Everything in a free country in a capitalist system should be the best person gets the job.
Right.
That's how
right.
it should be.
Well,
always, and I
would agree,
regardless of anything else.
But for a long time, the best person hasn't always been the first judgment has been what that person looks like. Does that person look like me? Because
who cares what they look like?
Well,
who cares?
All right.
It's superficial, Joe. You just proved my point. So one more thing about the boat. An interesting question I have. The boat that hit the bridge.
Oh, okay.
Why was it going in that direction in the first place? It makes no sense for that container ship to be moving towards that bridge. It's very strange.
I think it was going to go under it, but it lost power.
It doesn't look like it would fit.
It lost propulsion.
That video, it looks like it's far taller than that bridge.
No, I don't think so. But the bridge was made for those big container ships or big ships, ocean-going ships, to go underneath it. I mean, now, as I understand it, that port is shut down because they can't get in.
Oh, yeah, they're in big trouble.
Yeah. Oh, it's going to be a mess. All right, Rich.
Sucks to be them.
Really. Thanks for your call. And we got other folks calling in. I'll get right to you. I haven't had a screener for a few minutes, but we'll get to you here in just a moment here on KGMI Connects.
A weekend ride on your street bike. Exploring the backcountry in your new side-by-side. Mountain biking on your favorite trails. Spring is here, and it's time for some high adrenaline fun. When it comes to outdoor play in the Northwest, nobody beats Mount Baker Motorsports in Bellingham. They have an extensive selection of new and used road bikes, dirt bikes, and ATVs, and side-by-sides for work and play, personal watercraft, and now featuring electric mountain bikes from Gas Gas and Husqvarna. Mount Baker Motorsports also offers excellent financing options, an extensive parts and accessories department, apparel for every riding season, and a service team for all repairs and upgrades to your current toys. Start your spring adventures with a visit to Mount Baker Motorsports on the corner of Iowa and Woburn in Bellingham, or check them out online at mountbakermoto.com. Mount Baker Motorsports, Whatcom County's premier power sports dealer, featuring Arctic Cat, Kawasaki, KTM, CF Moto, Husqvarna, and Gas Gas.
Ad paid for by AG Marketing Group. Attention timeshare owners. If you need to get rid of your timeshare for any reason, please listen to the following message. Getting out of a timeshare commitment is not easy, and it takes time. But we specialize in helping consumers legally get rid of their expensive timeshares forever. Can't get the vacation dates that work for you? Maybe you felt taken advantage of or forced into the timeshare? Maybe you just can't continue to shoulder those monthly payments any longer. If you need to eliminate your timeshare commitment, then you need to take down this number. 800-823-1687. We will safely and legally get rid of your timeshare payments forever, all with a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Don't continue to let your timeshare be a financial burden to you and your loved ones. Call us now at 800-823-1687. The call is free. The consultation is free. Call 800-823-1687.
That's 800-823-1687. Again, 800-823-1687.
Want to wager on your favorite winners? Now you can at the only sportsbook north of Snohomish County. At Silver Reef Casino Resort, you can get in the game with baseball, football, basketball, hockey, and your other favorite sports. Visit the Portage Bay Sportsbook and Bar to place your bets. Sportsbook open daily at 9 a.m. Silver Reef Casino Resort, located off I-5, exit 260. We've got that.
What does your dream getaway have? Luxury hotel rooms, elegant suites, and relaxing spa? We've got that. World-class Wine Spectator award-winning steakhouse? We've got that. Washington's premier golf destination? We've got that. How about the newest slots, table games, and exciting promotions? Oh yeah, we've got those too. Visit Silver Reef Casino Resort and hit the getaway jackpot. Silver Reef Casino Resort, located off I-5, exit 260. We've got that.
We're taking your calls live on KGMI Connects, 360-676-5464.
Thanks for being with us here on this Tuesday, and we go to Rod in Linden. Hi, Rod.
Hi, Joe. Hey, I wanted to talk about squatters,
okay,
and empty houses.
All right.
My sister is a realtor down in San Diego, and twice now she's had to pay $5,000 to get people to move out of a house that she's had for sale.
Wow.
She has 17 of them listed right now in San Diego. She has to hire somebody to drive by security every day to make sure there's nobody moving into one of her houses.
Uh-huh.
And now if you look on Google, you can look up Google how to take over a house that's empty. And there's a migrant from Venezuela who's put one out, and it's a business now. They're moving into these houses, and the broker says, do what you can, pay what you have to get them out. We've got a sale on the house. And so they're moving in just waiting to get paid to move out. And they'll find another empty one.
Hmm.
And that's what's happening in the real estate market now with empty houses. There's a lot of them being squatted right now, and they're just turning them into party houses and destroying the interiors.
I don't know what
we do about that. What do we do about that?
I don't know.
My sister called me up and said, "What? I've paid $10,000 out for two houses. I've got 17. What do I do?" I said, "I'll give you a number. I'll call it first, and then and you can call them." And now, if somebody moves into one of her houses, there's six guys roll up with their patches on their bikes, and people move right out. They don't have to pay them a dime anymore, but she pays them.
Uh huh.
I don't know how do we stop that? Where's this entitlement come from?
Well, I don't think that people ripping off other people is anything new, and they found another way to do it. I mean, just look at we've become so interconnected in the new and unique ways people find to rip people off and to steal their life savings if they can. I mean, that kind of selfishness and greed isn't anything new among humans, and it's unfortunate. I guess that it sounds like to me that this is another area you have to protect yourself with security, like you say, hire security. If you're going to leave your home for a long period of time, you've got to have it secured in one way or another, and it's going to be an expense. But
secure doesn't help when they're breaking into the back door and moving in.
Well,
you can secure a house. You can put cameras up. They don't care. They're just moving in.
I don't have an answer to it, but it's unfortunate for those who are caught in that situation.
Well, I would have an answer for them if they tried to move into my house, I'll tell you.
All right. Okay, Rod, thanks for your call.
Good to talk to you,
you
Joe.
You too. Thanks. Let's go to Keith over on Sandy Point Heights. Hi, Keith.
Hi, Joe. How you doing?
Doing well. What's on your mind?
Well, I'll tell you, they've been talking about the DEI, and I've been reading a lot about it for the last couple of years, and I understand it. I understand where they're coming from. But what my point is, we're America, a melting pot. Obama was a Kenyan father, Scottish, Welsh, German, and Swiss blood. So he's melted. Tiger Woods, African Asian. Meghan Merkel, black, Dutch, English. Lenny Kravitz, one of my favorite musicians, black, Russian, Jewish. Lisa Bonet, black, Jewish. Halle Berry, black, English, German, Irish, Dutch. Slash, famous guitar player, black, English. Mariah Carey, black, Irish. Bruno Mars, Filipino, Spanish, Jewish. The Rock, Dwayne Johnson, black, Samoan. Kamala Harris, Jamaican and Indian. I guess my point is, I think we've blended enough to where we don't have enough boxes. I mean, let's do away with the boxes. I mean, we don't have these boxes anymore, because I don't know how many Americans are actually true-blooded, pure one or the other box. Right. I'm not. I'm Welsh. I'm Welsh German. So, I think we've reached a good blending point. So let's do away with this putting people in categories. When I check my box, they go, "You're white or Caucasian." Well, I'm not white because I have a pretty good tan. I've always had a good tan.
Okay.
And even if I'm not in the sun, I have a good tan. And also, I'm not a Caucasian, because that's a Caucasian is a person from the Russian mountains and somewhere in Russia. I've never been to Russia. I don't have Russian blood, so I can't be a Caucasian.
Okay.
My point is, I think we've melted pretty darn good.
Yeah.
And I'm kind of proud of our country for doing that.
Okay.
And I think we need to kind of get away a little bit from putting people in these boxes. That's all I got to say, Joe. What do you think?
All right, Keith. Well, I think on the face of it, I think what you're saying makes a lot of sense. I think when you dig a little deeper into society and how people, what people's actual experiences have been, that, I mean, I don't know that Lisa Bonet or Lenny Kravitz would just walking down the street or walking into an interview or what have you, that historically that people look like them would be treated exactly the same as someone who looks like me. Well, yeah, I mean, but better looking, would walk into a place and into that same okay. place. I guess, you know, that's my point. And I'm not saying that, and I don't think those who advocate for DEI think this should be dominant. This should, you know, be the most important thing that kids are taught or what have you. But that to have this message, to hear this message over and over, I like I said to our previous caller, I think it would help to reduce the kind of yahoos where I was just reading the story about, I think, the University of Utah women's team. They were staying in Coeur d'Alene, Idaho, across the border from Spokane when they were in town for the women's basketball tournament.
They got pushed to another hotel.
Yeah, because these people were yelling racial epithets at them, and at a team from, I think, from Iowa too, or another team too, and so I think maybe it would help to reduce and educate people like that a little more, and reduce those kinds of incidents and that kind of sense of not feeling safe and feeling threatened just for people, some people who are just walking down the street. But just some thoughts.
Maybe we can change the mindset of our country a little bit and say, hey, we're melding together pretty good here.
Yeah,
we're mixing ourselves pretty well, and we're not doing so bad. So let's take a positive look on that.
Okay.
And what do you think?
All right,
that's
Keith.
About it. That's
all right, I appreciate your thoughts. Thanks a lot.
Thank you.
All right, you bet. And then Michelle's on the line. Hi, Michelle.
Hi, Joe. Just want to say that I've enjoyed the calls today. I want to say that sports is one of the last true meritocracies. I'm not saying that there aren't politics involved in high school or college sports. In the pros, though, never. It's always who's the best or who they think is the best. Now, that was different back before World War II, and everybody was banned from all the sports. I mean, the black guys were all banned from the white sports, and that was grossly unfair. And we all knew that. I mean, I wasn't alive then, but we all knew that. And eventually, here's what happened, okay? I mean, people like Jackie Robinson and Willie Mays and Hank Aaron proved that black people, you know, and then they're, you know, could play baseball as well or better than anybody else. And the same with football guys you could name and basketball players you could name. But what I was going to say is I don't think I was ever more proud. I had one, even though I'm a gay woman, I never got hired because I was gay. I never got rejected because I was gay. But I had one baby for the sake of my parents in my early 20s. They were frantic for a grandchild. And, you know, he turned out to be a fabulous athlete, just like everybody in my family. And junior year, he was a star in baseball and football, starter two ways, you know, all the whole thing. And, and sixth man in basketball. But in senior year, he was supposed to be a starter in basketball also. And he came home from practice the first day after football had ended and basketball started. And I said, "So what's the deal?" He goes, "Oh, I'm going to be sixth man again." I said, "So what's that about?" He goes, "Oh, well, four kids transferred into our school, and they're all better players than me." And I said, "Oh, is that right?" And I said, "So are any of those guys on the football team with you?" And he said, "No, they're just basketball players." I said, "Are you unhappy?" He goes, "Heck no. We're going to state for the first time in 15 years. We're going to win all three tournaments. We're going to be great." And, you know, he was delighted that all four kids played ahead of him. They were all black. And they earned their spots because they were better, and he knew it. And the other thing that was, I'll finish with this, he scored a 60-yard great touchdown catch that the papers raved about when he was a junior to keep the team undefeated. And when he came back to the sideline, all these guys were dancing around him. And I asked him after the game, I said, "What were those guys dancing around you on the sideline for?" "Oh, they were naming me an honorary bro for being the only white guy to play in the backfield here in the last 10 years.
Okay.
And I said, "Oh, really? And how'd you feel about that?" He goes, "Oh, well, I just thought it was, I earned the spot, and they told me that."
All right.
And, you know, in other words, his black teammates accepted him, and I think that's the way it works with merit, and I'm all about merit.
So. Okay. All right, Michelle, and that's the last word here on our program today. And we'll be back tomorrow, 4 o'clock, KGMI Connects. Thanks for being with us today, everyone who took part in an interesting conversation.